No, I'm very thankful. Really, truly thankful that what Mary shared. And I was thinking last time I shared on how God has called each and every one of us out. He is the one who has initiated our redemption. He's the one who's loved us, cared for us, watched over us. He's the one that's tracked us down so that we can be with him. In light of that, I wanted to cover the other side of it, which is our responsibility. We have this hope. We have the word. We have the counsel. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. You know, as we walk by the Spirit, as we walk by the Word, and we choose to do it, God is the one who saved us by grace. He's the one that's called us. He's the one. We couldn't do anything of ourselves to be saved. He's given us the Son. He's given us his Word. He's given us the Spirit. He's done it all through Christ. And yet he is telling us that we are going to be his workmanship. We're going to be his workmanship only if we choose to let God, we choose to put on his word, and we allow God to work within us, to willing to do of his good pleasure, as Mary quoted that verse before. You have to choose to do what he says. You have to choose to walk this way. You are saved by his grace. That is his gift. Our response then is to honor him, love him, bless him, obey him. All these wonderful words. We are to sanctify ourselves for him and do the mission that he's called us to do. He's given us a job. The reason that you're here in this life is to move his word, to reconcile others back to him. We choose to do this because we got this Spirit. We got this power. We are that workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Go to Romans 6. You choose to do these things. You choose to put on and make this word yours, and you forsake yourself, the old nature, and you choose to walk in what he has given us, the new nature. In Romans 6, in verse 11, it says, "Likewise, reckon you yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin, but live, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." See, what God has given us, what he has placed within us with the Spirit, it's power, it's love, it is a sound mind. You have to choose to put it on. You have to choose to put off the old man. You have to choose to reckon it dead. Reckon is an old English word, which means you got to literally count it out. I reckon, you know, old cowboy thing. I figured it out. I've thought this through, that I don't owe anything to the flesh anymore. God has saved me. I owe him everything. Here I am, Lord, send me. And you have to reckon yourself alive unto him. We don't owe anything to this old nature. You've got two natures within you. You know, once upon a time, before I accept Jesus as my Lord, I didn't have a choice. I didn't have any conflict within myself. I didn't have anything bugging me. Just, hey, you do, you know, you take care of number one. That's the rules. This is what we do. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, when I want it, how I want it. And if I see something that I want, I'll take it. Now I got a conflict. I still have all of that lust and all of that evil within me. It pops up from time to time. And that's why, you know, all those wonderful commandments are there. You know, don't covet this, and don't lie, don't steal, don't, you know, it's not about you. It is about him. We're to love him more than we love ourselves. And Jesus said, you know, he said to his disciples, if you don't die to yourself, you know, you have to die to yourself. You know, you have to choose to make him Lord and keep him Lord. I'm no longer running my own life for just me. So I reckon the old man dead and its deeds. I think it through and I figure it out, and I'm going to choose to walk with my Father. And this is not a part-time job. This is a full-time job. Now I have two natures within me. I have the one where I was a child of the prince of the power of the air, the children that now work in the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. I have every bit of that still hanging out inside me. And at the same time, I've got Christ in me. I've got Christ in me, and everything, I am able to walk like he walked. I am able to love like he loved. I am able to serve like he served. And it's all about, if you reckon it, if you think this thing through and choose to do it. See, God's children are taught a lot of things in the churches. They are taught two really evil things, two big picture evil things. One is that you can confess Jesus is Lord and then have no responsibility in what you do, because I'm saved. And it's done. And so I can live the life that I always did, and I can choose when and if maybe I choose to live like he says in his word. But if I don't, it's okay. You know, he'll forgive me. I mean, I got God and Christ in me. So you got that, let's just call it that liberty. You know, we use liberty to sin. We talk about it that way. There's no such thing. But that's one evil doctrine. You have another evil doctrine where you are saved by your works of righteousness. You're self-righteous and get yourself in good with God. And that is what gets you saved. And that is also a lie from hell. We're saved by his grace because we couldn't save ourselves. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And now, because we are saved by grace, now we can respond properly and be his workmanship. and allow him to work within us, allow him to guide us, direct us, command us, and we become obedient, wonderful, willful servants of our Lord and our God. Let's just finish this little section here. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded, and you know that word yield is the same word for worship. As you have yielded, you have bowed yourself to, you have literally yielded. Just think of like the old knights, I yield. And they took their sword, they laid it down, they went down on one knee and bowed to the king. Well, you can bow to sin, or you can bow to God. Remember, this particular version is written in 8:16:11. So, where you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. You can't serve both. What fruit had you then in those things where you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. My old man nature, there is nothing that I am proud of with it. It serves no one else but me and the adversary. The new nature serves my God, my Lord, and my brothers and sisters. It serves as he served, my Lord and Savior. But now, verse 22, but now being made free from sin, and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. You know, you and I, we stay faithful to him. It says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, this is not a once in a lifetime action, but I confess Jesus is my Lord, and I keep him my Lord, and I am walking according to his commandments and his love and guided by him, and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt absolutely be saved. But you got to keep him Lord. And that's basically, again, what this verse here in 22 is talking about. But now being made free from sin, I'm free from it. Do you know what the Spirit of God and the Word of God and that which came on Pentecost did? Mary talked about it in her teaching a minute ago. They were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, right? They all left Jesus. They couldn't stay loyal to him. They were scared to death. They let the world scare them out of their pants. And they were just cowering in fear. And when they received the Spirit, it changed them. It changed them. That Spirit gave them power. They no longer had to be cowardice. And you know, and we all think about it in terms of, well, they want to kill me. Well, they no longer had to be cowards of not standing up for God and his word and his son. They stood up for the Lord, and they stood up for God. They stood up for the word. They stood up and they boldly talked to those people who had really just weeks before crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not afraid anymore. It gave them power. The Spirit of God gives you power to do God's will in the midst of a terrible, evil, wants to put you down and keep you down, put the thumb on you, and keep you from doing what the Word of God says. Keeps you from moving the Word, keeps you from fellowship, keeps you from God. You know, now you have, because of what he has done, we are made free from sin. As people say, well, I can't stop sinning. You've got the power to stop sinning. You've got the power to walk in righteousness. And become servants to God, that your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life, eternal life. You stayed faithful. You stayed faithful unto the end. For the wages of sin is death. You want to live a life that, in that first nature that you were born in, that selfish nature is all about you, all about what you think, what you want, what you think is right, what you think. We know ourselves. We've debated ourselves since we've known God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to walk in love. I want to think about what I want to think about. Well, if I go that way, the wages of that, I've earned death. And maybe if I do it enough, eternal death. If I make that my lifestyle, no eternal life. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go to Romans 8, not too far away. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That, the point was that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, when you walk after the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord that he had, first of all, the Spirit of God within you will never contradict the written Word. But that's like rule number one. And there's a lot of people say, oh, God told me this, God told me. Well, then it comes to pass. Whenever I have, and this is my, God forgive me if I'm wrong, but I've always handled it this way. When a believer says to me, God told me something, I can't ever say to them, I don't believe you. Not my job. You declare that to me, then you're on your own. I can't refute whether God told you something or not. I cannot. I can't judge that. And I very seldom have ever seen where God has told me that that's not true. Because they've made up their mind. And if they believe that they are capable and they believe that in all their heart, then who am I to say to somebody, no, I don't think so. But the fruit tells you, the fruit. I've had people constantly through the years, the same people. Oh, God told me to get into this business. And then the business fails, and then they come back a couple months later and they tell me, oh, God told me to get into this other one, and that one fails. And then they come back a month or 2 weeks later and said, well, God's working in me to do this. And then I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you haven't learned anything yet. You haven't learned anything yet. but they're convinced and they make terrible decisions. Now, that's just a job. I got other people who, you know, I've got ministers that I have dealt with that they're all hell bent on going in a different direction and making a big stink and dividing away and doing what they want. And what was the fruit? See, what was the fruit? And that, you know them by their fruits. They were not getting that information from God. They got that information because, just like it says in the Old Testament, it was from the imagination of their own heart. They said, thus saith the Lord. Learn. All I can say is everybody can fall into it. It's the adversary is out there. Anybody and anybody can fall into these kinds of things. But once, twice, three times, come on, learn. Get a little meek. I've seen people say, oh, I can't. God tells us in his word, we are to be out there hanging out with people who are ungodly, bringing them the gospel, reconciling men back to God. And yet I've got people saying to me, well, I can't, they're unbelievers. I can't hang out with those. Which God is this that you're listening to? Now, there's a difference between hanging out with them to the end that you become like them and hanging out with them with the purpose that God has given to us in his word and in your life to bring them to Christ. One's got courage in it. Neither one is pleasant. You hang out with all these unbelievers. This isn't a fun day. This is not for fun. It's annoying. But you've got a purpose. The purpose is to move his word. The purpose is to let God work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if you remember the previous teaching, God wants them all. So you and I choose to whether we're obedient. And I told you to go to Romans 8. So verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, the old man nature, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, and your mind controls everything, the things of the flesh. For they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded, carnal, to be worldly minded, the life of the old man nature, the natural mind, all those words can be used for carnal, is death. You follow after that which comes natural. That is death. But to be spiritually minded, that is life eternal and peace. Because the carnal mind is the enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's not those of you who are walking around alive. That is referring to those that are in the flesh, the old man nature, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, in the old nature, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He didn't belong to God at to begin with. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, But the spirit is life because of righteousness. The body is dead because of sin. Then it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. You know, that's true of, just think about it, Peter and the other guys. They were behind closed doors. And all of a sudden they were alive for God. They had changed. They had power. They had a new life. They had a new source to stand upon, on their feet. And that is true. And you got the ability to stand against sin. You got the ability to have boldness and courage. You have the ability to love where you couldn't love that much before. You have, remember Jesus said to them in John chapter 14, says, in that day you shall know, absolutely know, that I am in the Father and the Father in me and I in you. You're never alone. You're never without his counsel. You're never without him. But he will always, that spirit will always testify of Christ, and it will always do the written word. Because God cannot contradict himself. Isn't that great? I think that's just a terrific thing. Therefore, brethren, verse 12, you are not debtors to the old man nature, to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You don't owe that life anything. John McCabe of that old man nature, I have been trying to kill him forever. Every once in a while, he shows up, rears up that ugly head. We all have those moments, but I have to reckon him dead. I have to choose. Because I don't owe that flesh or that part of my nature, the old nature, I don't owe it anything. Verse 13, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the spirit mortify or blow up the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, led, doesn't say have. Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're the ones who are walking as his sons. There's a lot of Christians out there that say they're Christians and live like hell. They ain't looking like their sons. And from what I just read here, they're not. They've lived a lifestyle of, I only want the part of the religion that suits me. I only want the pretty pages in the Bible and not the other ones. Well, God will judge, but the fruit tells you everything in your eyes and in mine. Just take you to another place here. I really wanted to do Galatians 5 and in part 6, but you know what? That's enough for one day. I'm not going to do that. Maybe I'll save that for another day. What the heck? But I want to take you to the book of Acts, because I want to show you something that I saw. It's in Acts chapter. I really saw it, and it stood out to me, and I wanted to show it to you. It has everything to do with what we've been talking about. Acts chapter 2. They received on, well, Acts chapter 4 we're going to go to. But in Acts chapter 2, they received the Spirit, as you all know. They received that power from on high. They were clothed with the Holy Spirit. Pneumahagion. And they spoke in tongues, then they preached, and 3,000 believed. and they all had fellowship with one another, breaking of bread from house to house. They shared grace. Acts chapter 3, they walked into the temple, Peter and John. They saw a man, he stood out before them, he asked alms, and they said, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the guy stood up. He had been there for 40 years or more. He was a rich guy, 40, because they laid him daily at the temple gate. Beautiful. Somebody carried him. You got to pay somebody to do that. Uber doesn't do it for nothing. And he stood up leaping and praising God for what had been done. And all the people around got excited. Then you know what the religious leaders do? Oh, that's fabulous. We got a miracle. Nah. The religious leaders decided to arrest them, throw them in jail, all right, beat them. And then when they release them, they go back to the other believers. And I want you to see this, verse 23 of chapter 4. They go back to the fellowship. What a joy this must have been. They go back to the fellowship, and starting in verse 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company, the believers, and they reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. They didn't hide it. They weren't ashamed of it. They told everybody, wow, man, they threatened us, they beat us, they arrested us, they told us never to speak in that name again. I mean, isn't that great? That's the way they thought. Isn't that great? They weren't hiding it. Oh, maybe they didn't mean it. Maybe, you know, the timid, it wasn't, they weren't timid about it. They reported exactly what was happening. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God, the whole bunch, with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? They're quoting to God, Psalm 2. And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers gathered themselves against the Lord and against his Christ. Of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. You were part of that, Father. You had this all arranged. You worked in them to kill him, right? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. See, Peter and the others got it. They got it. And this is the difference between understanding the Spirit of the Lord and what your purpose is and thinking that it's all about you with your old nature. They came back, they reported this, and you know what they prayed? They prayed the Lord, and they told God, this is like Psalm 2. This is about, they're attacking you, Father. They're attacking your son, your holy child, Jesus. They have always, the whole world has always stood against you. It's standing against the Messiah and his return. And it's true today, and it's true 2,000 years ago, and it was true all throughout the Old Testament. See, Peter and the rest didn't take it. Oh, it's about they're persecuting me. Oh, woe is me. No, it wasn't about them. It's not about you. The devil has always been trying to persecute God and his son. And they didn't take it personal. In fact, they asked for more. Wow, this is awesome. And they asked for more boldness to speak the word. They asked for more boldness to walk out and to see signs, miracles, and wonders. Because those unbelieving people out there and those spirits of the hounds of hell that are running the world are not persecuting me, John McCabe. They're standing against my Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They never lost that perspective. I think so much of Christian, oh, it's about me. It's unjust for me. This is not right about me. You forgot who you're working for. It's not about you. Jesus didn't think it was about him. He always did the will of his Father, even die for us, because God asked him to. And he always knew the spiritual battle was against God and against his child, holy child, Jesus. Let me have a word of prayer. So, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness, your great grace, your tender mercy. You, Father, and you alone are the one who has saved us. You're the one who's loved us. And you sent your son. Help us, Father, to respond properly to you. This is about living for you, Father. This is not about anything else. This is about living for you and doing your word and doing your will. Help us to walk courageously, just like all the great, wonderful saints of old. Help us in all these areas of our life, Father, because we really do want to serve you and be profitable and have fruit in our life that glorifies you. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.